You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Daniel Chacon. Daniel is no stranger to KTUP, as he is the co-host of Words on Wire. But it's been a while since we've interviewed him. He and Ben have done a lot of interviews, and we're going to talk about his most recent book, which is called Hotel Juarez, or Hotel Juarez, Stories, Rooms, and Loops. And he's going to be doing some signing tonight. We'll talk a little bit about that. But first, I'd like to thank Daniel, because we're taping this on a Thursday, and Daniel literally swam over here. So thank you, Daniel, for coming over here.
Oh, no problem. It woke me up a bit. I'm wet from the knees down, and my arms are all wet, but it was a fun walk.
So I guess the Hotel Juarez didn't have any shuttle service, right?
No, they did not, okay. Nor did they have umbrellas. So okay. I had to use a piece of cardboard. The problem is the slant of the cardboard caused the water to just come down the sides and wet me all over the sides. So
I'm surprised somebody didn't report you as a UFO coming down with wings. Yeah.
You know what I thought? I thought I looked like the Flying Nun, because the piece of cardboard is white. And I thought maybe I'd like just suddenly take off and fly to school.
For those of you who are listening and don't remember or don't know what we're talking about, the Flying Nun was a show in the 60s with Sally Field. And it was a very interesting sort of sitcom. But anyway.
Yeah, and just to clarify, I used to watch reruns when I was a kid.
Oh, okay. And I used to watch the real thing. So there you go. I'm a few years older than Daniel.
Just a few.
Anyway, Daniel is with us. And Daniel, before we get started in talking about your book, tell us a little bit about how you got started as far as writing goes, because every author has a story. You know, some say, well, you know, I used to sit around and listen to my mother read us stories, or I've always been fascinated by books. How did you get started? Did you have a mentor in high school, or did you just...
Well, you know, that's always a really difficult question for me, because I could probably go back into my memories and in my childhood memories and pinpoint a lot of different experiences that indicated that I was headed towards being a writer. For example, when I was 6 years old, my mother, to get me out of the house, would tell me to go outside and play, and I didn't want to go play. And she'd say, well, if you go outside and play and you act like you're sad, act like you're really, really sad and lonely, and there's this man who drives around town in a brown van, and if he sees you and he sees that you look sad, he'll pull over the van and he'll open the back and there'll be a bunch of toys and you can pick anything you want, but you have to be sad. And so I don't know why she told me that. I guess it was just to get rid of me, but I believed it. And so I would go out in the front yard and I would act sad. I would sit there and get a stick and I'd ride in the dirt. And if my friends or my neighbors came by and said, Danny, you want to play? I'd say, get out of here, essentially pushing people away so I could feign sadness in hopes of getting some sort of prize. I'm still doing that.
And I guess,
I'm still doing that. As a writer, I'm still pushing people.
It sounds like your mother is quite a storyteller as well.
Yeah, my mother was a unique lady, yes, as I'm sure all mothers are. But in a sense, you know, as a writer, I still have to do that. I have to push people away so I can have my quiet time and so I could write. I tend to write in the mornings, but sometimes when I'm working on a project, it doesn't matter what time of day it is, I'm going to isolate myself and I'm going to write. And a lot of times that's, it's a lonely life. Oh, Louis, it's so lonely. But I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Now, what about, as you mentioned, that you write in the mornings sometimes, a long time ago, many galaxies ago, I used to do stand-up comedy. And I know my wife used to tell me, when you think of jokes sometimes, why don't you keep a pad and notebook and pen and pencil by your bed, and that way you can write it down or remember it. And so I'm wondering, do you sometimes get an idea, like when you're in bed already sleeping or throughout the day, I think I will write that down so I won't forget?
Well, you know, I think it's probably a little different for where you are in terms of your career as a writer. I think when I was young, every idea I thought needed to be written down, so I wrote it down. I think with comedians, at least from what I understand, I'm reading the Comedy Bible right now by what's her name, I forget her name, but she says that always carry a notepad for you if a joke comes to you. And I think you could forget a joke. But being a literary, quote, literary writer, I don't need ideas. I need to sift through the ones that I have and allow the strong ideas to wrestle with me and to follow me and to pursue me. And then finally, when they get me to the ground and I yell, uncle, I write them. So I don't really need to write down ideas because there's too many anyway. And if I forget a few, well, that's okay. Also, I think when you follow language, which is what we do as you know, literary writers, we don't write about ideas per se, although our work is full of ideas. We don't write about plot, although our work is full of plot. We write language. We follow the rhythm of the sentence into a story. And it's inevitable if you do that, the language is going to reveal all those ideas that you've always had that were important that needed to be said. So I don't think we lose anything by not writing ideas down as storytellers.
What about, as you mentioned, writing in the morning? I know when I used to teach news writing and broadcast the feature writing, I would tell my students, you know, set aside a time in the evenings or whenever and say, I'm going to sit and I'm going to write from 6 to 7 or 6 to 8, whatever. And once that time is up, get up and go away, because you're not going to accomplish anything just sitting there. And some days you're going to write a lot, and some days you'll write maybe two paragraphs. Is that the same for creative writers?
Well, everybody has their own process, of course. But for me, I write in the mornings before I do anything else. I try to write before I've been using language to communicate with other people, before I check my email, before I send letters, before I call people, before I talk to people. I try to just isolate my time and write. But I'm also a professor at UTEP, and I'm also a director of the online MFA in creative writing. I'm also doing other projects with video, and I also am the host of Words on a Wire, and so I have to read those books and prepare for those things. So I have a lot of duties, but I still every morning try to write for a little bit, and then other days I will use the day exclusively for writing. But as a writer, writing does not mean what Paco Taibo calls butt time. It's not just sitting on your butt in front of your computer or typewriter or notepad writing. It's also taking a walk. It's also laying down and staring at the ceiling and imagine, you know, the little indentions in the ceiling are a landscape, and you see little people on it, and you start to create a stories. And it's also even walking to the rain to go talk to Louis Sainz. Even that's part of the writing process. So when I have an entire day when I'm able to write, I just don't do anything else. I don't I do administrative work. I don't mow the lawn. You know, I don't do things. I just kind of let the whole day be for writing. But if it's not all butt time, that's okay. Let it be dreaming time, because a writer needs to dream.
And as far as what you do and what you have written, we're here because your latest book is called Hotel Juarez: Stories, Rooms, and Loops. And you're going to be signing tonight, and we'll talk a little about that in just a little bit. But you kind of described in a little video that you posted on Facebook about a week ago, saying that inviting us to go on a tour, kind of like an open house, mm-hmm. and say, come with me, I'll take you through this house. So tell us about Hotel Juarez. Is that kind of the way the book is written? You take us through different rooms?
Well, I think one of the most rewarding experiences for a reader is when they're reading a book and they forget they're reading a book and they're just there. They forget, right? And they're transformed into that world. To me, that is the aesthetic phenomenon when it comes to fiction, that reader's ability to allow their imagination to create this parallel universe that they linger in for a while. And with Hotel Juarez, I want the reader to be able to enter into the stories, to feel like they're actually there, to look around and to feel around for things. I want the reader to be able to imagine it like a movie playing in their head, or even more than a movie. Imagine it as if it's the reality that they're witnessing. And the book, it's comprises many different short stories, many different what I call loops and rooms. And it's almost as if the book itself is shaped like a hotel, that hotel in Juarez. And I want the reader to be able to enter the door, to walk up the stairs, to decide if they're going to go down this hallway or that hallway. You don't need to read this book in a linear manner from page one to the end. You could read it from anywhere, just like when you enter a hotel, you can walk this way or you can walk that way. You can enter this room and you can enter that room. Every room in the hotel has a different story going on. Every room in the hotel has different characters, and some of the rooms might even be haunted. As you know, an old hotel, especially one like the Hotel Juarez, which truly exists, it has a lot of stories that have happened in it, and there's a lot of different energies coming from different rooms in the hallways. And so I want the reader just to enter into it and play around and let their imagination take them into that reality.
And it's interesting that you said that because the way you just put it, it's almost like you gave the reader permission to come on in, but you can go in wherever you want. If you want to start in the middle, start in the middle. If you want to start in the towards the end, start towards the end. And some people don't understand. I mean, some people have to read a book, you know, at a time period. And I'm one of those people where I can read several books at the same time. I mean, I don't mean at the same time, but mm-hmm. I'm talking about I can be reading three different books, and I can just pick up one book and then put it down, pick up the other one. And the way you just described it, it sounds a little bit more inviting.
Well, you know, the thing is I like to think of the metaphorical value of the many worlds interpretations that some theoretical physicist propose that there are multiple universes, an infinite amount of universes, and that if you can imagine it, that universe exists. I like that idea, and I think for fiction writers, every time a reader enters into a story and they see the story and they forget their reading and they enter into that landscape, they are creating their own universe. Yeah, I'm the writer, and I'm helping them create it, but we're co-creators, and everybody's going to see something different. If I say to you, for example, a woman in a Volkswagen or a woman in a BMW, you're going to immediately picture a woman in a BMW, and you may picture a blonde, somebody else may picture a redhead, somebody may picture a big woman, a small woman, but the fact is they are co-creating that reality, that universe, and that's kind of how I see the book. In fact, I have this one story about a girl, a young girl who goes to a library and she picks up a book, opens a passage, reads it, enters into it completely, puts the book down, opens up another book, enters a passage, and enters that world completely. And somehow the two worlds seem as if they're connected. And she does that with a pile of books. She has a whole bunch of books and she's just reading passage after passage. And finally, understanding what a passage means. A passage means a passageway going from one place to another. And that's how I kind of, a reader can do that with this book, I hope, just enter it in any way. But you can also go through the front door. You can read the first story to the last story and it might make a little bit more sense. But I also think that fiction and art does not have to make sense. It just has to be visceral. It has to be an experience.
And of course, a lot of people enjoy reading books, but they also enjoy one of the things that I read in the New York Times is that audiobooks are becoming very popular, and they're exposing young people to books again because mm-hmm. You know, it seems like reading has become a lost art, and I don't really know if you want to call it an art because I think it's a necessity. And as far as the reason I mentioned the audiobook is because people like to go hear the author read. And you mentioned earlier the woman in the Volkswagen. Everybody has a different perspective. And so they want to hear it from your perspective. Well, what does he mean? I thought he meant this, or she thought it meant that. So tell us a little bit about you're going to be signing tonight, or will you be reading as well? And if you are going to be just signing, where is it going to be at?
It's going to be in the Student Union East here on the UTEP campus at 7 p.m. Lucky Friday the 13th, I dare you to come inside. And I'm going to read and talk about the book. Also, a former student of mine named Paul Pedrosa is turned out to be an excellent writer, and he's going to read with me. And so I'll be reading, signing books, and taking questions, and probably pontificating on subjects that are completely meaningless but fun to talk about.
I think somebody probably, and if I don't ask this question, they're going to say, you should have asked this question, so I'm going to ask it. Your co-host recently won a big award, Ben Sines, and the name of his book was based out of the Kentucky Club, and yours is Hotel Juarez. So people are wondering, why did you guys pick two places in Juarez?
You know, I'm glad you asked that question. I'm surprised no one's ever asked that before. But Ben and I used to live in the same building, and Ben would be literally next to each other. We shared a balcony. So when Ben would go out on his balcony, you know, I would go out on my balcony, and we'd be like taking a break from our writing, then we'd go back into the apartments and we'd write. And we wrote these books at the exact same time. Yeah, and we actually even finished them at the exact same time and turned them into our publishers at the exact same time. It was amazing. And there was something about where we lived and the stories that Ben and I would share as we sat out on the balcony that must have influenced us. And we could see Juarez from our balcony, and sometimes we'd see smoke, and sometimes we'd hear gunfire, and that cannot but influence a writer who is writing every morning. So I think it's just a zeitgeist in a sense. We both were writing about the same thing at the same time. And our books came out at about the same time, too.
And as far as if you want to find out more about the book and where the book is available, you can hear Daniel Chacon. He's going to be speaking and signing his book tonight.
It's called, I have a webpage.
What is that webpage?
It's imaginarywater.com.
And is this book available also online?
It's available at Amazon. It's available at the UTEP bookstore. It's available at Barnes & Noble's. It's available at any place that sells books.
What about the latest thing, of course, as I mentioned, is our audiobooks and Kindle ebooks.
Yes.
Is it an ebook?
They're available on all my books are available on Kindle and ebooks as well.
Well, Daniel, thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Daniel Chacon. He is the author of Hotel Juarez, and that is Stories, Rooms, and Loops. He will be speaking tonight, reading from his book, also signing the book, if you want to purchase and get an autographed copy of the book, and that will be at the Union East at what time again?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. Again, thank you very much for being with us. We've been visiting with Daniel Chacon. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sines.